For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time to bring in Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com. Good morning, Chip. How are you today?
Morning, Dave. I love that Beauville. I haven't heard that. And I actually live in Beauville.
So yeah, you're close by. Well, you know,
that's kind of cool.
Well, where we are and where you live, are you in Bogart or you're in Watkinsville? They're both about the same distance, and you're not really in either one of them.
I firmly believe I live in Bogart because, you know, for generations where I live was Bogart. But
right.
Then they moved Caterpillar in and decided to call it Watkinsville. So it's really not Watkinsville. It's Beauville.
Yep.
I think we should petition to change the whole area.
I agree.
I mean, with that.
You know,
that's a great idea.
I'm down with that.
Too.
Yep. The Beauville. That's why I like to say where we are. Well, I appreciate that. And it is cold in the Beauville right now. But anyway, always great having you on. All right, the Mel Tucker story is a good one, and certainly couldn't be happier for him. He certainly deserves it. And, you know, Georgia fans should look at this, don't you think, as, hey, this is what happens when you have one of the top programs in the country. Your coaches are going to leave for head coaching jobs, and this is just part of what happens.
Gosh, yeah. I mean, look at Alabama. I think really that's one of the sidebars, you know, one of the stories of the success of Nick Saban that probably doesn't get enough mention is all the coaches he's gone through. You know, I mean, Kirby was the exception because Kirby had offers every year pretty much after his third or fourth year at Alabama, and good ones, you know, I mean, really good ones, but he was choosy about the one he took, and he would have gone to South Carolina. I'm almost 100% certain if Georgia hadn't stepped up and gone after him in 2015. And you know, it's a good thing that they did. And Mel Tucker was kind of the same way. You know, he was a finalist for the Tennessee job. Quite frankly, I think Tennessee messed that one up. I think they'd have done really well. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt, I think, is going to turn out to be a fine coach. But I just think. An African American such as Mel Tucker in an SEC program could really have some great success, and I don't think there's enough African American representation in football. Period. Especially, you know, commiserate to the amount of African Americans that play the sport. I mean, and he's just a sharp coach. I mean, that's all there is to it. So, I mean, I think Colorado did really well. I think it hurts Georgia. And then I think we'll see to what extent. I mean, you know, the narrative on Mel Tucker and Kirby Smart was, you know, Kirby Smart was running the defense and he was de facto defensive coordinator. Kirby adamantly, spoke out against that any chance he got. But, you know, it's easy enough to see during the game, you know, such as the SEC championship game or any game, when the defense was huddled up, you know, I mean, Kirby's doing most of the talking. That's just Kirby, you know.
Yeah.
He does that in the offensive huddle a lot of times, too. But Mel Tucker, from an X and O standpoint and in a motivational standpoint, is an exceptional coach. His resume tells you that. I thought Colorado was a little bit of an odd fit. I mean, it really doesn't fall into his, professional footprint where he's been most of his career. But football is football. Coaching is coaching. I'm sure he'll figure it out there. And, you know, now Georgia has to find a defensive coordinator.
So, obviously, it's speculation, but there is the potential to promote from within or go out and, you know, find another defensive coordinator. So, I guess that's just, part of, like you said, that's Saban has to do it every year, and now Kirby's having to do it, and it's a good thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, and it's going to be real interesting to see because I do think, you know, that Kirby has the opportunity to promote from within with a really young guy in Glenn Schumann, 28 years old. He's a very interesting case study in that, you know, he didn't play college ball, which is unusual. Well, he didn't play on the SEC level. I can't remember if he played somewhere, but he didn't, you know, he didn't play big time college football. He came up through the analyst side of things, and Kirby loved him. I mean, I remember going all the way back to 2015, and Kirby Smart got hired. And, you know, I went into the college playoff working for the Journal-Constitution following Kirby. And, you know, you started hearing right away, one of the guys he might bring is the Schumann guy. He's been his defensive analyst. He's a young guy, but Kirby loves him. And sure enough, you know, he brought him and made him inside linebackers coach right away. And the, you know, the reports inside the Georgia football camp is he does great work. You know, Georgia's inside linebackers, I thought, played really well this season, despite kind of, you know, missing the best linebacker in college football, right? And Roquan Smith, they did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
And he's going to know the Kirby defense. That's why, Dave, y'all, you know, I hear these names being kicked around, you know, Dave Aranda, you know, LSU, who makes $2 million a year now. I mean, but Manny Diaz and these Greg Schiano and these different guys who have their own system, I don't think those guys are on the table. And this is just Chip guessing, but, I mean, you know, I think you got to speak Kirby, right? I think you got to speak Bama. You got to speak that language, because Georgia's not going to revamp their defense so Dave Aranda can bring in his style,
right,
or Manny Diaz or whatever. You know, you're coming in to run Kirby's defense, so you got to know Kirby's defense, and that's the pool that I'm looking at. And I don't know if any of those guys are serious. Like a guy like Derek Antley, who's the DB's coach for the Oakland Raiders, he succeeded Mel Tucker as DB's coach at Alabama, and then went out there with John Gruden to Oakland Raiders. But you're talking about plucking a guy off the West Coast, bringing him all the way back across the country. You can't bring him in as just DB's coach. You know, you probably have to make him defensive coordinator. And, you know, maybe that guy, the current DB's coach at Alabama, is a guy named Carl Scott, who was at Texas Tech before that and has some D.C. experience.
Yep.
At Southeastern Louisiana. You know, maybe that's a guy that you go for. You got Tyson Summers on staff that probably doesn't get a lot of people excited, but he's a guy who's got a defensive coordinator experience. He's a defensive analyst for Georgia now. You know, you could easily move him into the staff. There are a lot of different directions Kirby's going to go. Here's the bottom line, though. Kirby knows what he's going to do. He has a really strong idea, because this was not a surprise. You know, we've been talking all year about, you know, Mel Tucker could take this job, could take that job. So, you know, these coaches and ADs, they always have a top drawer list. And I imagine Kirby has a pretty good list in his top drawer. He's probably worked his way down it pretty good by
you,
now.
You hit on an excellent point that people don't appreciate, is that, like, they just, you know, you just think, oh, Mel Tucker's leaving. What are the Dogs going to do? These top head coaches, and not just in football, in business in general, you have a plan for something like that. It's not like Kirby just woke up and all of a sudden realized, I got to get a defensive coordinator. They've got scenarios in place just in case something happens. So, yeah. We tend to kind of not see that because we're seeing it from the outside. I guess the one thing is like, would another coach leave to go with Coach Tucker or something like that? And those are the kind of things you're not sure about. But other than that,
that's,
I mean,
right,
they got stuff. And by the way, Schumann, I know he's only 28. He'll be 29 in March. But if you look at his, like, his background as far as his family, you know, his dad was a longtime defensive coordinator for a bunch of teams. His grandfather's, like, in the Florida State Hall of Fame. His mom was, like, a collegiate coach. I mean, he's got that in his blood.
He's got coaching pedigree,
yeah,
through and through. And if you watch the Georgia's practices, he's fun to watch. I mean, he's one of those guys. I mean, he is so – I mean, all of Georgia's staff, I mean, it's a requirement to be on Kirby's staff, right, that you be frenetic and energetic and into it. I mean, it wears me out watching those guys. Even Jim Chaney, you know, he's not known for his fitness necessarily, but, I mean, they those guys are all over the place. And Schumann is that way too. But I hear he's just really, really sharp on the X's and O's, what it is you're trying to do. And inside linebacker is a position that inside linebacker coach or an inside linebacker, period. It's just like a quarterback. You got to know what everybody on the field is doing. You got to make sure that you, your run fits, that everybody fits everywhere. So, I mean, that's a real easy go-to right now. The thing you don't know about is, you know, kind of recruiting implications and that kind of time. Sometimes you want to make an impact, you know, that way. Which is part of it. And if you elevate him, then you still got to get a secondary coach somewhere. And what are you going to do on that? The other part of it is, it's just like with Texas, you know, actually Kirby Smart and Tom Herman, they know each other really well, just from the coaching community, going against each other in bowl games. They have the AFCA coaches convention every January. And, you know, you just think about those hundreds of coaches in the high school ranks who flock to Georgia every year for Kirby's, you know, coaches camp, for coaches get together. So, you know, there's so many possibilities, but he knows right away. It's just a question is if he can get the top guy he wants right away, and he'll work through that list. But I don't think there's a hurry on it either. Because of Glenn Schumann and because of Kirby Smart's, you know, knowledge of his own defense and everything else, I mean, I don't think Georgia has to rush out and go get somebody, you know, before they get to the Sugar Bowl. I think they would be able to put in a plan whether they have a DC in place or not.
Talking with Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Chip, you look at the announcement DeAndre Baker made about playing in the Sugar Bowl, and I guess I just wanted to ask you, you know, as a guy who could be a top 10 pick, might be the best DB in this entire draft, you know, what do you think ultimately went into this decision, and do we have any other Georgia players that we may need to keep an eye on in terms of making that same kind of decision?
Well, you know, that's a good question in terms of seniors, you know, considering. I mean, DeAndre Baker is obviously Georgia's, you know, highest NFL prospect, and the fact that he's choosing to come back where Greedy Williams is not, I think this is a problem for college football. And you know, I don't know exactly what can be done about it. I'm wondering if your scholarship agreement, if your letter of intent that you sign at the beginning of your career, I think these college teams need to include some language in there, because that, at the end of the day, is a legal document. Say, hey, you know, when you sign this, you're agreeing to play, you know, every game. As long as you're haven't declared for the draft, right? You know, as long as you're not an underclassman who's coming out. You know, at the end of the day, these guys have freedom of choice, and this is the United States of America, and that's understandable. But I think that's a big deal that DeAndre Baker is willing to do that. And I don't even mean to say willing to do that, because I mean, I think it's the right thing to do. I mean, you're on a team. I mean, you can somewhat understand if it's the Independence Bowl, but I don't think you should differentiate. I think you should, you know, play for your team until your eligibility is exhausted, and you can train for the NFL draft. And the odds of a defensive back getting injured aren't that great. And you know, NFL teams, they know if you sprain your ankle in a bowl game, they're not going to devalue you because of that. I mean, certainly there's the risk of a knee injury, but how many of those do you really see with defensive backs anyway? I don't know. I'm kind of old school that way anyway. I mean, I think you're supposed to play for your school as long and as hard as you possibly can. And Georgia, you know, should feel good that they've got a guy like DeAndre Baker who, you know, agrees with that principle.
Talking with Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com. All right, the fake punt. Has anyone asked you your thoughts on that as far as the game on Saturday?
Well, I laugh because, you know, I mean, I've just been I wondered if y'all were tired of talking about it. You know, I don't come on here till Thursday, you know.
We kind of got it out of our system the first couple of days of the week, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about it. It's one of those things, Dave, that you understand this. I mean, you're in the press box, it happens, and you're like, what just happened?
Yeah,
you
know? I just see that? That's what I was thinking.
And then you got to put it in perspective, and then you got to, you know, in my case with Dog Nation, they want me to say how I feel about things. You know, they want me to give my opinion on it. And, I mean, I'm not wishy-washy about it. And listen, this is not a condemnation of Kirby Smart overall. I mean, I still think he's a great coach. I think he's going to do a great job with Georgia. He's doing a great job with Georgia. He's a one of the best organizers I've ever seen. He's a great game planner. You know, he's an unbelievable recruiter. Right now, that's what he does better than anything else. But, you know, this special teams thing is a mess. And that right there was the worst call that I've ever, I think, personally witnessed in a college football game. And it was not just the execution of it, which was terrible, or the strategy of it, which was terrible, because you're inserting Justin Fields in the game. You go back and look at the tape. I mean, there's two linebackers right away pointing like he's a Mike linebacker, you know, on the other side. Hey, by the way, the quarterback's in the game. And then it's 4th and 11 in a game. And I heard Kirby, you know, we're trying to win the game. Well, you know what? Trying to punt the team down and pin them down and stop them on defense is trying to win the game as well. In fact, the percentages of winning the game are way better than what you were trying to attempt right there. And then my next part about it is, okay, your defense is gassed. You want to go for it. Well, freaking just line up with your offense, spread everybody out. You know, your quarterback, granted, things had swung a little bit, but Jake Fromm's having the game of his life. I much like the percentages better of Jake Fromm lining up in the shotgun and running some receivers out and you know, heck, even just one of those back shoulder fades to J.J. Holloman down the sideline have better odds than what you were trying to do right there. So I hated it. It was terrible. I've been getting vilified because everybody loves Kirby, and I love Kirby, and I'm not trying to say Kirby sucks as a coach or anything like that. I'm just trying to say that's a bad call. And here, I'll take it a step further. I hadn't even written about this because I've kind of been off. But I think getting the 10th assistant this year has hurt Georgia and hurt Kirby, because you got a full-time special teams coach in Scott Fountain. And what happens when you have somebody like that, they are scheming all day long, and they're sitting down in the coaches' meeting and go, Coach, we got this. If they're in this look, we've got this. Coach, we've got this. They're saying it all week long. That's what we heard about the dadgum fake field goal against LSU, which was equally ill-timed and swung the momentum of that game because it didn't work. And then whatever the Auburn thing was, I didn't like that from an ethics standpoint or whatever. I just didn't think it was a very cool thing to do in that situation. That one would have worked if you could have. But you're 0-for-3 on fake kicks. And, you know, when you're Georgia or Alabama, I mean, you know, how many fake kicks do you see Alabama run? You know, I mean, it's not that you don't do it. You got to have them, and there's a time to do them. But people compared it to the 2012 game when it worked successfully. You know, when the 2012 game and it worked successfully, it happened in the second quarter. Okay, fine. That's what you're trying to generate some offense and keep them off the field. That made sense. Plus, it was in the plus side of the field, you know, in the first half. This was a terrible call. One of the worst I've ever seen, and I'm not going to change my opinion. It's indefensible, in my opinion.
Chip, I was down in the locker room after the game, and I kind of heard this off to the side. I wasn't standing right around Justin Fields in the scrum that was around him, and I'm not exactly sure who did this, but there was it seemed like there was one – a reporter that was kind of grilling Justin Fields about transferring. And, you know, in that moment, it just kind of seems like, I don't know, a weird time to be doing that, particularly after, you know, what happened. I get it that it's an important story, but at the same time, you know, this is a guy who hasn't been allowed to talk to the media all year. So I thought Fields handled it pretty well, but at the same time, you know, this is something that's going to be hanging over this team until, you know, a definite statement or whatever is made.
Yeah, it is. But, well, you know, so that whole Justin Fields thing, I talked to him, too, afterward, but you can appreciate this, Sam, because you were in there. I mean, there was an absolute scrum around Justin mm-hmm. and his locker after the game was over, and I kind of eavesdropped a little bit on some of the questions, but I actually came back to him after the herd had thinned out a little bit, and I thought he was pretty direct with me. He said he loved Georgia. And, you know, he planned on coming back and getting better. I mean, we'll see how that goes. You know, this is modern day football. I think everything we saw from Jake Fromm was, so impressive this season, because not only did he do what he did, but he did it in the context of having a guy like Justin Fields there. And look, guys, let's be honest about it, okay? I think everything that we saw Saturday in that SEC championship game, they kind of forced Justin Fields into the game plan. And they're trying to keep the kid happy. And it's not just they're trying to keep the kid happy. They're trying to keep the kid there because they've seen what he can do. I mean, I don't think, you know, that's not smoke and mirrors. I mean, the kid is the real deal. But you got to get from potential to reality, and when he's not there yet, and when will he get to that point? I don't know. But, you know, Jake is also just a sophomore, and he continued to improve this year, and he just hadn't made up that ground yet. So, you know, I think that's what we're witnessing. But I based on my personal conversation with him, and this was after a lot of those writers and those bright light TV cameras got out of his face, he was fairly calm about saying, look, he said, I love Georgia, and, you know, I plan to come back. I mean, he wasn't wishy-washy about it. You know, but anytime you say plan, you know, you could, well, my plans change. And it depends on who's got his ear and that kind of thing. Here's the bottom line. Georgia needs him, because I think you saw that from the Alabama game. I mean, you've got to have more than one good option at quarterback. If your guy gets hurt, you got to be able to turn to somebody, and that's what I'm sure Kirby Smart is saying. You've got a perfect example over there in Alabama. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be high stress, but this is what happens when you recruit great players. And you know what? Georgia's recruiting at least another great quarterback to come in here next year, and they may even sign two. I've heard. I don't know whether they will or not. They may not have the numbers to do that this year, but they're going to keep recruiting great quarterbacks. So you hope he hangs around, because I think he's got great potential. But the fact of the matter, he is not even with Jake Fromm yet, and I don't think it's even close, personally.
Well, something we can look forward to September is after Vandy, Murray State, Arkansas State, and Notre Dame, the first open date after that. Well, those are the first four games of the year. A lot of these guys will have to decide if they're going to redshirt, you know, the redshirt or whatever. So that's a new thing now in college football.
It's a legitimate thing, and we have to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, Notre Dame is Georgia's fourth game of the season coming up next year. All right, Chip, great stuff as always, my man. We appreciate it. This maybe just flew right by, man. I don't know what's going on here.
Doesn't it seem like we were just in preseason camp?
I know.
What Georgia was going to do. And hey, look, you know, when everybody's disappointed about a New Year's Day 6 bowl, the Sugar Bowl, you know you've reached a different level of the program. And I think there's a lot of positives here. You know, obviously we're about to have that early signing period. You know, it's going to be fascinating to see how that turns out. But Kirby and his staff have been extremely impressive. They're at a little bit of a watershed moment, I think, a little bit of a crossroads with, you know, Mel Tucker leaving and having lost to Alabama in two straight years, and Kirby getting some criticism over some of the calls during the games. You know, Georgia's got to weather that storm. But the bottom line is you've got a great team coming back for 2019. You're going to be poised to be nationally relevant at the highest level again next year. And that's a lot to be excited and positive about.
I mean, certainly. I mean, I haven't even thought about it, but no worse, you would think, than what, preseason top three or four?
Oh, you got to be. I mean, you'll be in the top four.
Right? Yeah.
So, yeah. Hey, you were in the top four this year. you know, I mean, you know, not to bring that thing back up or not, I do agree with what Kirk Herbstreit said, that, you know, it depends on your, if you're trying to get the four best teams, then you didn't do that. But I was not surprised that politics entered in it. And, you know, the end of the day, Kirby says just win the game, and you know, they didn't win the game. And that to me is the long and the short of it. And it's disappointing, because I do think Georgia at the end of the year, was one of the hottest teams and best teams in the country. But, you know, they take into account the whole year. And from that standpoint, I understand what they did. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand it. And hopefully going down the road, I don't know how hard it is to change the language, but I think they need to put conference championship as a consideration. And, Of course, I'm the one I've told y'all before. I think they should. I think eight is the perfect number. You know, maybe six, but I like eight. I like including as many as possible. And eight's a good number for me. I think that's what they need to do in the playoff and take the five power conference champions and then three at-larges. But, you know, I don't know how easy it is for them to do that. The very least, though, I think they need to take conference champions only, and that'll take a lot of the controversy out of it because it's a playoff and you're not supposed to be – shouldn't be any subjectivity whatsoever.
Hey, we'll definitely discuss this some more. It's very interesting. Chip, appreciate it, my man, and we'll catch you again next week.
See you, pal.
All right, bye. Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.